Podcast live and underway here on ESPN Plus. Alongside Hercules Gomez, I'm Sebastian Salazar for what is episode 98 of this show. An episode coming in, Herc, off a weekend where, I don't know if you felt this, but my goodness, the speed at which we make the U-turn from international play to club play, and a lot of that U-turn was right here on ESPN Plus. We had FA Cup, we had Bundesliga, we had La Liga. A great weekend here on the platform.
You ready? I know I'm ready. You ready?
Am I ready? Am I ready, he says, questioning me on a Monday. Of course, Football America is available for you in podcast form as well. We say it at the beginning of every show, but we know not everybody has ESPN+. You got some friends. You want to let them in on this little secret? Tell them all about the podcast. They can find it in the ESPN FC feed. In this edition of the show, we got a lot coming up. We got coaches on the hot seat down in Mexico. We got major, I mean blockbuster moves in MLS. And we got the CONCACAF Player of the Year nominees for both the men and the women. But why don't we start in Europe with some action from the weekend, and actually a couple guys who weren't involved in the latest international window. Let's start with Jordan Pifak in the Swiss Super League. He had two goals for Young Boys Herc in a 3-3 draw away against St. Gallen. That's 13 goals in 19 league matches for Pifak.
Yeah, you see that little area right there between the 6 and the 18? That's where Jordan Pifak loves to operate. That's a true 9 right there. You sniff it, you smell it, it's intuition, and it's in the back of the net.
18 goals for Pifak in 32 games played across all competitions, so he's doing it in league as well as in Europe. Young Boys, by the way, remember, they're the defending champs in Switzerland. It has not been as easy this season. They get a 3-3 draw here, and right now sit third in the Swiss Super League. Let's go from Switzerland to Germany, Bundesliga, Gio Reyna. Gio Reyna returning after a 163-day injury layoff. He played the last 30 minutes in Borussia Dortmund's 5-2 defeat against Bayer Leverkusen. Not the best way to come back in terms of the team situation, but great, great news to see Gio Reyna back on the field for Borussia Dortmund, who fell and fell hard with Reyna back on the team, but Erling Haaland up in the stands. All right, Herc, so we got Gio Reyna and we got Jordan Pifak, neither of whom were called in to the last international window. So let's look ahead to the March window and kind of speculate as to where they might fit in with this U.S. roster. I guess we should start with Pifak, right? Because he's the one that's coming in hot. Let's assume that he continues the form that he's in. Is he a lock to be called in under Greg Berhalter, given the fact that Berhalter has not called him in for any of the last three windows?
He's not a lock. As much as I would love to say Jordan Pifak and that amazing goal-scoring ability that he's proven that he has because
what
the numbers,
about form?
Because the
what
numbers
about
are
form?
There,
isn't
because
everything
the form
down
is
to
there.
Form?
One would think everything would be down to form, but the reality is there seems to be some rotation going on with Greg Berhalter and that nine. It's a revolving door situation. I still think.
Yeah, and Pifak's on the outside of that door. He's not in the rotation.
Unfortunately, he's on the outside of that door right now. Doesn't mean he can't come back because that will give Greg Berhalter credit. He seems to give second opportunities to players a lot. And some of those players have taken advantage of those second opportunities. Jordan Pifak's a player that you saw in the Nations League semifinal can come on and make a difference for you. He's a player who's very much in form, a very different type of skill set than you have. He should be in the conversation, yes. But Greg Berhalter has proven he doesn't care. Greg Berhalter doesn't care about that. Ricardo Pepi had 3 goals, 3 assists, and all of a sudden, a little run of form going on, and then he's got players in Major League Soccer who aren't even nines starting over him. He's got 3 games, windows, and he plays one of those games. So throw that out the window. That worries me a bit, but not too much. If we're going to start talking about Gio Reyna, that's a different conversation, Seb. You know I've got a soft spot. I'm sure you would call it a blind spot for a few players. Josh Sargent, Gio Reyna, Brendan Aaronson to an extent. Gio Reyna, in my eyes, has the highest ceiling of any U.S. men's national team player. Not just recently, not just of the last year or two. I'm talking about maybe in its history. That's how fondly I am of Gio Reyna and his ability.
So you putting him in the starting lineup or not?
That's the question right now. I can't in good conscience put him in the starting lineup for a March window. What did you say the number was, 158 days?
I think 163 was my count, but yours might be right as well.
Wow! Since the last time we saw him, that means the last time we saw him was in El Salvador, Cuscatlan, when he was getting scared of those firecrackers.
Come on.
But he was one of the better players for the U.S. men's national on the field, but it's been that long. And it's not structural. So it's not like it's an ACL. It's not like it's a tear of some sort to a meniscus or anything like that or a broken bone. It's soft tissue. That worries me. Until he's healthy, until he can show you that he can start and play those significant minutes, I think, if anything, you've got him coming off the bench this next window because he needs to prove that first. But I'm very fond of what he can do and the impact he can have on those around him.
It's a hamstring injury, Herc. I wonder if you feel that way about Reyna. Let's assume health. Let's say in the next 5-6 weeks, he not only starts playing for Dortmund, but proves to you he can go a full 90 minutes in the Bundesliga. Let's say he's hit that threshold. Do you start him or not?
Yeah, I do start him. It's easy.
Now, the next question is where?
Exactly.
Is he a winger or is he in the midfield?
Well, I think you play him as a winger and you try to introduce Christian in the center where he drifts anyways. So give Christian an opportunity to play that number 10 because at Chelsea they play those dual 10s and that's where he wants to play. Maybe centrally, that would mean a Brendan Aaronson or a Timothy Weah would be on the outs. But Gio Reyna, at his highest level, the creativity in the final third and the big moments this kid has for just being such a young player. Listen, I will take those intangibles heading into Mexico City.
Real quick on PFOC, because I think there's a really, really good chance he's going to be by far the most informed number nine when we hit March. Look at the rest of these guys. Who of these guys is not only going to get hot, but then stay hot, which is what PFOC has done? Pepe at Augsburg? Is that going to happen? Sargent playing on the wing at Norwich? DK, who's hurt? Zardes, who's going to be, what, two weeks, a week into his Major League Soccer season? Who of those guys is going to get hot and stay hot more than PFOC? I think it's not just a case of whether he gets called in, Herc. I think it's whether he starts. The only issue is, does Greg Berhalter actually value this player? Because he's not just started scoring now. He was scoring in October. He was scoring in November for when he was left out. So quickly from you, what I want to know is there something in PFOC's game that doesn't fit Berhalter's system and what he's trying to do with his national team?
So let's take a look at PFOC when he has played for the national team. Has he really started much? He's been having these appearances off the bench, and they've been successful. Forget about the goals. Forget about those chances he has made, the chances he's not made. He's always at the right place at the right time. He's always knocking on the door, and that's what I want out of a player who plays in that final third. The goals will come. You see form, okay? You score one, it's another. They come in bunches. That's the life of a goal scorer. I need my nine to be in form. I need my nine to have opportunities. And a player like Jordan PFOC, who's both in form and has proven that he can bag opportunities, I want that to be a player. But Greg Berhalter has proven that this nine position is different for him.
Okay, Herc, let's move on. Speaking of players who were not called in the last window, a couple interesting scenarios here. Daryl DK and Matthew Hoppe in hot water over content they liked on social media, both caught engaging in what we will call less than pro Berhalter posts. Hercules, is this something, nothing, or everything? Is it a view into the soul of how American players feel about their coach?
There you go, Seth. There you go. When you said Hercules, I knew it was over. Trying to make, a mountain out of a molehill here. Look, this is nothing. Hold on. Let me explain. Let me explain.
The players. Look at this.
No, it's not an excuse because let's assume for a second, because we don't know, but let's assume for a second we give him the benefit of the doubt. And Daryl Dika thought it was amusing that Stephen A. had a soccer take. There goes your like. Let's assume that for a second. Let's also assume for a second that Matthew Hoppe was like, oh, a soccer billboard in a UNC versus Duke game. Wow, that's pretty funny. Let's assume that for a second. Let's also assume for a second it was a Jesse Marsh type of mistake. I pressed the wrong button. I don't know what I'm doing because Jesse's pulled that one before. Okay?
Let's assume that. Those are different generations. Hold on. Jesse Marsh,
easy
who just
boomer.
Got on Twitter,
let me finish.
Making a mistake is acceptable. Matthew Hoppe and Daryl Dika, they grew
finish.
Up with Twitter.
Let me finish, okay? Let's assume that. I don't buy it for 1 second, but let's assume that. Now, the reality of the situation is every single team in the world has players who are upset with the coach. Every single team. I've been
on
those teams.
And these two weren't called in.
The majority of the times, that those players, said players, are upset with the coach, it's the players who don't play, who aren't called in. They have a gripe with said coach. Now, it's not Greg Berhalter's fault that Matthew Hoppe isn't playing for Mallorca, that they're struggling, that he can't get on the field. It's not Greg Berhalter's fault that Daryl Dika, when he had opportunity with Greg Berhalter at the Gold Cup, didn't do well, didn't take advantage of it.
So why are the players lashing out on social media?
It's also not his fault okay, that he had a bum shoulder and that could have affected him. You know whose fault it is for these likes? These players. This tells me more about Matthew Joapi and more about Daryl Dike and their emotional intelligence for these likes than it does anything revolving Greg Berhalter. I know everybody loves these days to get on Greg Berhalter. Greg Berhalter this, Greg Berhalter that. Terrible coaches, terrible coach that.
Qué inocente, eh?
Well, no. And I'm one of them. But I feel, but I'm not biased. I don't just hate to hate. And there's no hate. There's analysis behind it. This, to me, tells me more about the players than the actual situation revolving Greg Berhalter.
Look, the internet sleuths were out heavy duty over the weekend to dig these two up. I think no. I'll go back into the WhatsApp group and we'll find out who really dropped it in the text chain there, okay? Look, it's a bad mistake from both of these guys, Herc, right? You just can't do this because you know everybody's going to find it, everybody's going to see it, and shows like us and people on the internet are going to talk about it. And I don't think it's such an innocent mistake, huh? I could buy an innocent mistake from Jesse Marsh, although I don't know if that was innocent. But this one's really, really tough, especially her given the context, right?
Okay.
They're players who right now are on the outs. One thing is the internet, we get so much information on this team from the internet. Remember after the game in Minnesota, how many guys kind of went on their Instagram and
complained
said,
about the weather,
and complained, said, I don't want to do this again. You know, I wasn't a big fan of this. I hope this is the last time we have to go through this. So if you love the U.S. men's national team and you want to know how they feel, you know where to go.
All right. Something, just, nothing, just or everything then, Seb.
Just follow the guys on social media. Oh, it's something. It's something for sure. It's something between these players. And we know Matthew Joapi and Greg Berhalter have that, let's say, interesting relationship, right? Interesting relationship.
Also not Berhalter's fault.
Dynamic. Let's run it back here because we had some big plays over the weekend from American players. We'll start with a Brendan Aaronson assist, Herc, in the Austrian Cup, a win for Red Bull Salzburg.
This is good to see. It's one of my soft spots, blind spot, but he needs to get back to these ways. He's been such a productive player for both club and country, but he's been in a little bit of a slump. Hopefully this is the first of many to get him out of said slump.
How about Salzburg holding on to him too over a January transfer window that saw a lot of interest from abroad. FA Cup on ESPN Plus this weekend. Manchester City beating Fulham 4-1 on Saturday.
Oh, come on!
Should Tim Ream have gotten an own goal here?
No! When production said this, I was like, okay, I checked it out. There's no way he should get an own goal for this.
Well, I mean, it's not on target when it's shot, is it?
Oh, come on! It's going towards goal. Tim Ream's trying to make a play on it. Come on!
That is harsh.
Very harsh that production
harsh.
Here.
That is harsh. I mean, they didn't credit it with an own goal, to be fair. They gave the goal to Mahrez.
Yeah, you should get it. Mahrez, by the way, that's his right foot, and you can tell.
Easy, easy. I mean, he's still scoring,
yeah.
No complaints there as City advanced in the FA Cup. By the way, it's a match that Zach Steffen, Herc, started. Curiously, after he missed the last international window with what we were told was a back injury.
Don't read too much into it. Don't get on a transatlantic flight with back spasms and then expect to be fine. This also, it's a sitter for the player right there. Not much he can do. Leaning one way, that's what you're supposed to do. It happens. But Zach Steffen, starting again. I like it.
There you go. And how about in the Bundesliga? George Bello making his Bundesliga debut with Arminia Bielefeld. He played 19 minutes in a 1-1 draw against Joe Skalilis. Mönchengladbach.
Joe Skalilis, sorry.
He was on the bench.
A few things. George Bello literally got off the flight and went to this game or what? Like, what's going on here? You talk about an acclimation period. Nah, I'm ready to go. This is what you want to see. 19 minutes, weren't the best at times. Got his feet wet, got it going.
All right, let's go to Serie A. Johan Vasquez starting and playing the full 90 as Genoa kept a clean sheet even though they were man down for the last 25 minutes of the game against Roma, a match that finished in a scoreless draw. Big point for Genoa, who are in a tough, tough relegation fight. Vasquez playing a left back in a back four in this one, but once again playing for Genoa in Serie A. Fans in Mexico asking, he's good enough for Serie A, but not for CONCACAF. So the question to you, Herc, is did Tata Martino make a mistake not playing Johan Vasquez at all in the last international window?
Mistake? I don't know. Expected? Yeah. Your boy told you.
No. The question was not expected. The question was mistake.
Well, let me tell you why I'm not sure if it's a mistake. Let's look at the games. They play against Jamaica in a game that they controlled very much. The center backs were not an issue. Moreno and Araujo played extremely well that game. That game should have been probably won by a lot more. You go to the second game versus Costa Rica, and it was Montes and I believe Araujo, right? Montes Moreno versus Costa Rica. Also not at fault. You know what was at fault? That midfield. The combination of Hector Herrera. And once Edson Alvarez came out at halftime.
I don't care if the forwards are
listen
bad.
To
I don't
what
care
I'm
if
saying.
The midfielders are bad.
Well,
the
clean your ears and take a listen. You'll hear the answer you want to hear.
Better.
You asked a question. Let me answer it, Seb. Okay? Not an issue again, the center backs.
No, Hector Moreno was brilliant. Yes, yeah, they were brilliant. Brilliant. The center backs from Mexico were amazing in this last window.
Whoa. You think they were the problem?
If no,
you
no,
go
no.
To the
That's
total,
not the question.
Total pole of the problem. Look, because you don't like the decision that was made, don't go and say, well, the seventh problem here is the main problem, and this is why Mexico couldn't get a result.
So how do you explain that Johan Vasquez is good enough to play in Serie A, but not in a CONCACAF World Cup qualifier? By the way, there were three games, huh? There were three games. He didn't get 1 minute in three games?
Hey, your man's not played much at the senior national level. And I've been telling you
and
this.
And that's the problem.
And
that's
I've been
the
telling you this
Tata
for
Martino
a lot. You just
needs...
don't want to hear. You don't want to hear it. When I told you he's not rated by Tata Martino, you scoffed.
And
bah.
Why is that?
Bah.
And why
you
is that?
Up,
why is
you
the Serie A team
rated,
but Tata
for
Martino
the worst
doesn't.
Team in Italy? Look how defensive he is. Look at these statistics for the worst team in Italy. Fine, Seb. He's a very good player.
Mm-mm.
I'm not discounting that. I'm not arguing that.
And in a
I'm
position
trying
of
to
need.
Tell you
how
why
often
it happened.
Have we said that
Tata
central
Martino
defense is a
rate
position
him.
Of
I'm
need?
I'm not excusing it. I'm telling you. I don't think Moreno was bad this window. I don't think Montes was bad this window. I don't think Araujo was bad this window. I think everybody in front of him was bad this window. I think if you look at the totem pole of problems for El Tri, center back in this window was way at the bottom. Johan Vasquez, should he be playing a bit more or at least introduced more in a three-game window? Absolutely. I believe so. But guess who doesn't? Tata Martino. Guess who told you he wouldn't?
Tata Martino. You did.
Yes, I did.
You did.
Yes.
You did. My complaint
me.
Here against Tata Martino is that he's so slow to bring in somebody new like a Johan Vasquez, right? It's the same case with Eric Gutierrez, who's clearly in form, but doesn't get a single minute. He's not getting minutes. Why not give these guys a chance? And I'll make the direct comparison here to somebody like Greg Berhalter, who we criticize for all the rotations, but he gives guys shots.
More than any other team in CONCACAF.
Luca Della Torre, you've had a great season at Heracles. Boom, I'm not only going to bring you in, I'm going to start you in a huge game.
Yeah.
Greg Berhalter is showing that he has way more confidence in players who might not have that huge resume than Tata Martino, and I think that's weighing against this Mexican national team. Tata Martino is way too slow on the trigger with some of these moves, Herc. He's way too reliant on veterans and on the comfortable players that he believes in.
Briefly before production goes to the next, he's too reliant on those sacred cows, those veterans who have been here forever. He doesn't want to move Guardado, Hector Herrera. He doesn't want to move the center backs. He likes his experienced players, Raul Jimenez to an extent as well. That's just Tata Martino.
Okay, also on ESPN Plus, of course, we've got the Eredivisie, Dutch top flight, where we know Ajax played over the weekend, beating Heracles 3-0. Another here, Herc. Edson Alvarez played all 90 minutes, just like Zach Steffen. Of course, Edson didn't play against Panama in the last World Cup qualifier, played only 45 minutes against Costa Rica, came off injured. He was on the bench unused against Jamaica. So again, fans in Mexico asking, well, if he's healthy enough for Ajax, why isn't he healthy enough for the Mexican national team, Herc? As a fan, I'm not cool with this. Are you cool with it?
I'm not a fan.
I know you're not.
Let me tell you why.
You're a hater.
Let me tell you why I am cool with it for Edson Alvarez and only Edson Alvarez. And stop using Zach Steffen's name to make a point. Zach Steffen didn't get on that flight because it could have caused more back spasms. There's a difference. Transatlantic flight.
What's going on these flights that people are just breaking out in back spasms? My goodness.
Hold on a second.
Pobrecitos.
Tecatito Corona and Tata Martino had this exchange about the transatlantic flight. Don't go on if you're injured. It can make things worse.
Bring
your foam roller. All right, guys.
Crying.
Okay. Do you want to talk about this or not? Edson Alvarez, to me, if you look at the situation, it's a player said one thing. Are you good to go? Edson said, yes. Are you sure? Are you 100? Edson probably said, I'm not 100, but I'm good to go. No player is ever 100%. Tata Martino said, you know what? I don't want to risk it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to risk it for my team. I don't want to risk it for you, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds to me like Edson wanted to play more. Dr. Martino said, not today, son. And guess what? Guess who didn't say not today? Ajax. Played 90 minutes
for
Ajax.
Why does Ajax trust the player and Tata Martino doesn't?
That's a great question. That is the million-dollar question, but we're seeing it on all levels. Tata likes to micromanage in a way that we didn't see before. We've not heard about before. No at Paraguay, nor at Barcelona, nor in Argentina. Atlanta United, but there seems to be this micromanagement going on with Mexico. The Tata way or the highway? And Edson found the highway.
In our production meeting, I suggested some kind of, not backroom deal, but a deal between the Federation and the club, right? Because it's like the only way that it makes sense, that they must have put something in Edson's contract or in their dealings with the national team that says, hey, if you're with El Tri and you feel anything, you're done. You shut it down and you don't play a second until you come back to us. Because from a need standpoint, Mexico needed him way more against Panama.
Absolutely.
Than Ajax needs him against 14th place or whatever Heracles.
Guess who has the ultimate say in
even
that?
Even though Luca de la Torre
guess
is in
who
there.
Has the ultimate say in that?
I hope the player would have the ultimate say, but we know
national
it's Tata
team. Martino. National team. Trumps everything. That's it.
Okay, well, of course, FA Cup available for you on ESPN+. Plus. So is the Copa del Rey. We got the semifinals coming up this week. Rayo Vallecano against Real Betis. Ooh, maybe with Andres Guardado. Diego Lainez appearance in that one. This is the first leg on Wednesday afternoon. Don't miss it on ESPN+. Plus, available in English and in Spanish.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's start with Rayados of Monterrey, who in humiliating fashion crash out of the Club World Cup, defeated by Al Ahly, the Egyptian and African champions. As you saw there, fans both in Mexico and those that traveled to the United Arab Emirates very upset with the manager. We saw the hashtag Fuera Vasco trending. What do you think, Herc? Is it time for Rayados to part ways with Javier Aguirre just two months into his tenure?
Tranquilo, amigo Rayados.
Hi.
Like, seriously? You're seeing protests all over Rayados and Monterrey. Like, they're asking for the directiva, the board, to resign. Like, what do you want them to do? Spend more money? They're already the richest roster in Mexico, one of the richest rosters in Latin America. This is par for the course for Rayados at the Club World Cup. But you know what it is? They're chasing Tigres and everything Tigres does. But this is more of what we've seen. Rayados has had one of the richest rosters for I don't know how many years. Post Vucetich, this is what you get. Profe Cruz comes in, richest roster as well. Nah, no good. After that, Turco Mohamed. He comes in. Guess what? No good. CONCA Champions, you do well. Diego Alonso comes in. Guess what? No good. Turco Mohamed comes in again. Guess what? No good. So now it's Javier Aguirre, one of the all-time best Mexican managers in their history. This is not me. These are numbers. This is pretty much what every pundit will tell you. Guess what? Not good enough again. What about this roster? Everything the directiva does, the board does, is assemble this amazing roster on paper. But it's the same thing because they are chasing what Tigres have done. They are chasing Tigres in what is club soccer at the league level, at the cup level, and also now at the Club World Cup level. Mm. Tigres gets to a final, loses to Bayern Munich. The bar is let's be the best team of all time, best Mexican team in this competition. Just let's at least get to where Tigres got to. And that's all they concentrate. Al-Khali, you know how many absent players they had? They had over 10 players.
A dozen, right?
Yeah.
A dozen or so.
Yeah, easily over 10 players that weren't there because they were playing with Egypt in the African Cup of Nations. Okay? They were playing against a second-tier team, and they managed only two shots on target.
Fracasote! It's another big fracaso under Aguirre in this tenure with Rayados, but that's okay for you. That's okay.
It's, so
you
it's say par for the you, course for Rayados.
You say he stays, right?
Yes.
I think in our production meeting I said he should go. Herc says no. I say he should go. Now, but
Wait a second. Don't make me pull the receipts. You said he should stay.
No, look at that. Look at the graphic. The graphic reveals the truth.
This
now,
man.
But see, But see, now I'm coming back. So okay. Here's why you would say yes. I think Rayados, as you mentioned, has shown a history. I don't know what you mean by Mohamed's first tenure. He lasted almost 3 years. So yeah. in Liga MX standards, that's like a decade. After that, we've seen that Rayados coaches basically. Yeah. Yes, in the second one, he lasts a year, a little more than a year. Same with Diego Alonso. His tenure lasts about a year. So it's not that Rayados managers have the longest shelf life, but we are just talking about 2 months. I mean, he literally got hired on December 7th. The other thing is, I mean, the fracasos are serious, right? They finished ninth last season. You talk about a great roster, a great team. On a day, even against an Al Ahly with 12 players missing, things can happen, incidents of football. But when a roster that good over a season comes in ninth, that's when you start to say, okay, el funcionamiento.
Take a look at that season, Seb.
What happened?
Well, there's 17 games there. Look at the amount of internationals they have.
What happens in Liguilla?
Hold on.
They go out to Atlas.
Look at the amount of internationals they have.
Look at you. Oh, when we want to criticize Rayados, you make it about Tigres. This is how it goes.
No, I'm just saying, this is par for the course. You show me a successful tenure at Rayados without Vucetich. Okay? They're inconsistent at best. They're chasing what Tigres has done this past, I want to say, 11, 12 years now, going on 12 years. That's what they're doing. That is their goal. It's not their own history. It's chasing Tigres. There has been no successful, consistent Rayados team post-Vucetich.
So Aguirre has this incredible team. He's this incredible coach, and he can't get him above ninth, and he can't get him past a totally depleted team in the first game of the FIFA Club World Cup.
He's been there for 6 months, Seb. You think that's enough time? Give him some time,
no,
Seb.
He's been there two months.
No, he's been there six. He's for six last season and whatever you want to say right now of this 3.5 weeks.
Okay, enough on Rayados. Let's move from one hot seat to another. From the FIFA Club World Cup to the Mexican League, where America was at home against Atlético de San Luis, and things did not go well, Hercules. A 3-2 defeat. Now 8 games across all competitions without a win for Club America. They currently sit 16th place in the Mexican League. Is it time for America and Las Águilas to say adios to their much maligned manager, Santiago Solari?
Say it with your chest, Seb. Come on. Don't say it with such despair. First of all, this 3-2, it's very deceiving because
No. There are no deceiving results with America. You win or you lose. Don't tell me about deceiving at home against San Luis.
You want to listen?
Ridiculous.
You want to listen?
Ridiculous.
It could have been 5-0. It's deceiving because you look at the scoreline, you think it was a close game. It was not. They were trounced and trounced well at home against the San Luis team. But this is the first time they scored all season. Sambuesa, a couple assists there. He's like 47 years old and he's still playing. He's still cutting up at Club America. It got close towards the end, but they were thoroughly outplayed. This America went from being a pragmatic, predictable, yet disciplined and very dynamic team. Some would say still boring, to a just predictably boring team. And Solari has gotten every single player he has asked for. He wanted Fidalgo, he got Fidalgo. He wanted Mere, he got Mere. He wanted Diego Valdez, he got Diego Valdez. Everything he's wanted, he's gotten except Sanz, that right winger. And if you're telling me this is the only reason they're not winning because they don't have that right winger, I don't buy it. This is Solari wearing thin, that style of play wearing thin with the players, him being so pragmatic wearing thin with the fan base, and just in general, everybody else. They've not won since October 23rd of last year.
Seth,
so it's 107 days.
You getting rid of him or not?
Yesterday, when he couldn't beat Pachuca, when he lost to Pumas in playoffs, that's when you get rid of him. This is what I've been trying to tell you. Last season, when they're on this incredible start, and you were like, hey, look at America. And I said, man, have you seen their schedule? This is a product of the schedule. You laughed. Oh, hater. Oh, Amarillista. Oh, I don't know what. Seb, will you acknowledge now that this is over?
It feels very harsh, Herc. It feels very harsh. After all of the last two seasons, when he was winning in the league, right? And we said, it doesn't matter what he does in the league. It really does not matter what he does in the league until he gets to Liguilla, until it's CONCACAF Champions League final. It does not matter.
Okay.
Well, guess what?
What?
Now it matters. Okay, now it matters.
Seb.
I mean, what are we going? We're going months? We're going November, December, January, that America fans have not been able to celebrate a victory. 3 months for America fans, and he had the international break to sort things out, and things seem to be getting not better, not stable, but worse after the international break. I think Solari has to go. He has to go now, Herc. There's no other way to see it for me. And in America, we always talk about it, right? You got to win and play well. If you don't play well, you got to win, right?
Right.
If you don't win and you play well, you might buy yourself some time. But if you don't win and you don't play well, there's nothing left. There's absolutely nothing left. Such is the exigencia of America. Santiago Solari has to go. Quickly.
Santiago Baños is in that boat as well, because we've seen teams with less win CONCA champions, win Copa MX, win league titles. Different coaches, same group, win those titles. Solari, Baños have not, and that's an issue.
Okay, quick recap of Jornada 4. We'll do a good, bad, ugly from down in Liga MX. Start with the good. Puebla, 2-0 winners over Querétaro, Herc. Your beloved Puebla, top of the table with Atlas.
With Atlas. Atlas is almost expected right now. Están un poco agrandados, right? They're feeling themselves a bit, and they're playing very well. That's not a surprise to the defending champions. Puebla should not be a surprise to you. What is a surprise is how well they keep doing despite selling their best players every single season. Despite their youngest prospects, the prospects that have good amount of possibility of playing the first team, going off to Europe and not stepping into that first team, they are still doing well, and there's a reason for this. Larcamón, their coach is so good at dealing with and getting the most out of what he has. I'm going to say it right now. If there comes a time for Mexico to have this, we need that rescue coach like Miguel Herrera, excuse me, was in 2014, it's Larcamón.
There it is. All right, the bad. Cholos, 1-0 winners over Pumas. Facundo Ferreira, Herc. He had himself a shocker.
Uh-oh. There's one. Okay, that wasn't too bad. All right, he had another 1v1, a real 1v1, a sitter. You're going to see it right about. There it is. And watch this. Oh, Talavera makes himself big? Sure. Is it on turf? Sure. Should he put it away? Yes. How about another one? Oh, another 1v1. Talavera, make yourself big again. Do it. Oh, my man is trying to chip on turf. What are you looking at? Don't look at the referee. Don't look at the linesman to bail you out there. But you got a penalty kick. How about this? Can you make it? Oh, you missed it. He moved, so let's do it again. Two bites of the apple, two penalty kicks, misses them both. But in his defense, Cholos has a history of hiring bad nines.
No, yes, they do. They do. Or just at the wrong time of their careers. Ugly, Pachuca Necaxa, Pachuca's Roberto de la Rosa with this amazing miss.
I feel bad because De La Rosa is actually a very good forward. He's a young kid.
Yeah.
And he may have been offsides already, but that should not be an excuse. He's offsides. But wow, you got to put that away.
A little deflection there from the defender. Maybe keeping the flag down. De La Rosa, Mexico, U17 and U20 player.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Let's talk MLS. Chicago Fire, Herc, close to a deal with Lyon for Jerdan Shaqiri, a transfer fee of $7 million, around $7 million reported. Shaqiri, of course, didn't play for Lyon in their recent game against Monaco, so prepping for the move. The former Liverpool man, now 30, will be a designated player. A huge signing for Chicago and for Major League Soccer, right up there with Lorenzo Insigne to TFC, so why not compare the two, Herc? Who is more likely to win MLS MVP this year, Shaqiri or Insigne?
More likely Insigne. Let me start off with Shaqiri and why that's not too likely. Yeah, he's 30 years old, still a very good age. Coming off an abysmal 6 months in France, where he played the Europa League, 5 games, 0 goals. In league play, he's only got 3 goals, 2 assists. Not his best moments. I'm like, okay, count that off. Liverpool, he didn't play too much towards the end. So what are we looking at? Go back to his stats. His last productive season came as a Stoke player. 2017-2018 Premier League season. I mean, that's a while ago, Seth. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't know what the Fire are going to look like. If they look like what they've looked like in years of past, it could be another train wreck, a dumpster fire, right? But Insigne is one of the more talented players of his generation in Italy, a player very much still in his prime, 30 years of age, both for club and country, going into a setup where I think he's going to have more of a supporting cast around him with a man who's used to introducing stars to Major League Soccer and having them explode onto the scene. Bob Bradley does this for a living. He was very good with the Chicago Fire. He was very good with LAFC, very good with Chivas USA. He does this for a living. If he can get half the numbers out of Insigne that he got out of Carlos Vela, this man could win MVP. Yes, absolutely. Over Shaqiri, who's got... Yeah, no, I'm taking Lorenzo all day.
Yeah. If Vegas was doing odds on this, Herc, they would definitely agree with you. They would definitely agree with you that Lorenzo Insigne, probably based on his ability and the team that he's going to, is the favorite right now over Shaqiri. But I'll make the case for Shaqiri because I think it's very interesting. One, I don't know, you know, we do work for ESPN. I know I was covering it, so maybe you turned the TV off. Did you see him at the Euros?
Yes.
There's a pretty good body of work there, okay? So we know he can still do it at the highest level.
Yes, 100-plus
no
games
doubt about
for Switzerland.
That.
I understand, yes.
No doubt about that. To me, this is a player who, with Switzerland going to the World Cup, will be extremely motivated, at least in this first year, to kind of keep that high level and make sure that he's still an important part of that team. We don't know if Italy's going to the World Cup, huh? So that motivation, that potential motivation for Lorenzo Insigne,
he will be rested.
May not be there. May not be there.
He will be rested.
I hope this hits for Chicago.
Yeah.
Because Chicago for MLS has been an unmitigated disaster for a while. There's the blip of Bastian Schweinsteiger, Dax McCarty. Other than that, you got to go back to Cuauhtemoc Blanco. The
Did
last
you say
time
Dax
they were,
McCarty?
They were really truly relevant, across
like
the league. They need something big.
You're right.
That's a huge market, and it's been a huge failure for a long time. And if Shaqiri's the guy to finally get Chicago on the right foot, better that than not.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying about Chicago needing to be relevant. They've not been relevant in their own market because they've either not been in the actual Chicago market or the stadium or the actual players. They've not had those marquee players. But I miss the Chicago days. I miss the days of Chris Rolfe. I miss the days of Kalen Carr. I miss the days of Cuauhtemoc Blanco. I miss the days of them being protagonists in this league.
Let's talk about some other big names headed to Major League Soccer. And I'm talking big, big resumes. Douglas Costa, the Brazilian winger, ex-Bayern Munich, ex-Juventus, set to join the LA Galaxy on loan at first and then on a free agent deal through the summer of 2023. He's 31 years old. He was at Grêmio last, who were relegated to the Brazilian second division. So, interesting potential there. Douglas Costa, 31 years old, probably on the back end of his career. Now, we definitely know this next player is on the back end of his career. Carlos Tevez, 38-year-old Carlos Tevez, has been linked with DC United. Also, reports out of Argentina today that Orlando City and Minnesota United are also interested. He last played for Boca Juniors in 2021, last year. Okay, Herc, time for another comparison. Which of these two big names with big resumes is more likely to flop should they come and end up in Major League Soccer?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so tempted to say anything related. Anything related to DC United, I'm so tempted to say already automatic flat, but I love Carlitos Tevez. Yes, I understand, Sev. I understand what this franchise means to you and what they meant to Major League Soccer because they were the bar at the beginning of their infancy. Carlos Tevez is one of the most contagious players you will ever see. Mm-hmm. Carlos Tevez in his prime was a world beater, something just
so why do you think
there.
He's going to be a flop?
He's 38 years old, and it's DC United.
But what are your expectations?
Losada and the way he plays, it's very physically demanding. It wears on those players.
It's a weird fit, right? It's a weird idea.
It's a very weird fit.
You don't think Tevez at 38 is going to do that.
It's the San Jose of the East. It's Matias Almeida of the East. I don't like the fit. But Douglas Costa in Los Angeles, Douglas Costa in Cali. Do you know Douglas Costa went down to the Bay, went down, got relegated when he was at Grêmio. He had an opportunity.
Tell me the story of Grêmio. Why don't you tell me the story of Douglas Costa at Grêmio?
Apparently our man had an opportunity to fight promotion relegation last game of the season and decided he couldn't play. Apparently he was at a wedding. So who knows what type of Douglas Costa you're going to get?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows if you're going to see the best of Douglas Costa if we see the numbers right there? Not exactly flying. Douglas Costa in his prime, a very good player. You cannot discount that. Douglas Costa, and here's the problem with some DPs. They see Major League Soccer. They see the opportunity to live in the States or North America as an opportunity to go on vacay. This worries me. Even though I know what I'm getting out of Greg Vanney in the LA Galaxy. I like what Greg Vanney can do, but I don't know if this is a recipe for success.
Mm. One quick note on Tevez, right? He told media recently he stopped playing 7 months ago, so that doesn't really bode well.
Right.
But the point is the expectations there would not really be that high. You've got Ola Kamara, who almost won the Golden Boot last year, although there's some reports maybe he could be traded.
He could be moved,
but right now he's on the team, so you're not bringing in Carlos Tevez to lead the line. And if you expect him at 38 to do so, come on, you're crazy. The Douglas Costa one, to me, I mean, I could see that going south in a hurry for the reasons you mentioned, and just knowing what the LA Galaxy are. It's a big gamble, right? Huge upside, but the potential for a flop for me with Costa is much bigger than with Tevez, if we're just
Because
being
of the
honest.
Age, you don't expect it to be a flop. At 31 years of age, you assume he still has a lot to offer.
Jozy Altidore. Let's move on to a player who's been in MLS for quite some time, but is moving from Toronto FC to the New England Revolution. Reportedly, TFC buying his contract out. He's 32 years old. He's got a 3-year deal, Herc, for TAM money. TAM money, not DP money. Herc, what do you see in Josie's future? An MLS All-Star game? A U.S. call-up? Or both?
Remember, if Josie's being bought out,
or neither.
If Josie's being bought out, that DP money's already there, so he's just getting more on top of that, or the equivalent of. What do I see more? I can see both, and let me tell you why I can see both. Jozy Altidore just turned 32 in November. Mm-hmm. Jozy Altidore, when healthy, around players that are good or similar to his footballing IQ, and I'm talking the final third, that footballing brain and combination, is very, very good. Think about TFC with Giovinco, Victor Vasquez, with Delgado, with Osorio, Bradley, that type of setup. You're going to put him in a setup with Gustavo Bo, Adam Buxa, Carles Gil, Coach.
Well, how are you going to get all those guys on the field? Are you sure Jozy is a starter in New England?
Well, half the season he could be, because Adam Buxa I expect to be dealt come summertime. But think about this for a second. Coached by the man who wrote the book in Major League Soccer. We've said this so many times. Bruce Arena plays chess. The rest of these coaches in Major League Soccer play checkers.
If so the Bruce Arena stamp of approval, that's enough for you.
Yeah, it's more than enough in Major League Soccer. But I'm being very honest with this. Look at Gustavo Bo, the goals and assist combination. Adam Buxa, goals and assist. Carles Gil, the assist. This is a very good footballing team in the final third. Scoring goals or creating opportunities is not a problem. If Jozy can stay healthy, he will be an all-star. He will score goals. And the way we have this revolving nine, the way that Greg Berhalter has shown a penchant for giving players opportunity with his skill set, his experience, I can put him easily in this conversation. Mm. I will not for the life of me say this won't happen.
Do you remember our very first bet on this show? Maybe a month into this show's history.
Top five.
You said that Jozy Altidore would be the all-time leading scorer in U.S. men's national team history. I took the bet. We're still waiting. I'd offer you an early buyout, but we'll keep it we'll keep it alive for now. Can I be honest with you? I think it's more likely he gets a U.S. call-up than an MLS All-Star call-up, just because I think there's less competition for nines with the U.S. pool than there is in Major League Soccer.
Well, not only that, it's very easy to get a call-up these days. One good moment, one good streak, and you get a call-up these days. That's what it is.
Okay, enough. Enough on Jozy Altidore. DeAndre Yedlin completing his move from Besiktas to Inter Miami on a free transfer. There was reportedly interest elsewhere in Europe, including the English Championship. Herc, this move, of course, comes in a World Cup year. It's a player coming back to Major League Soccer. So it begs the question, will this move from Besiktas to Inter Miami hurt DeAndre Yedlin's World Cup chances.
If very quickly, if you've not read the ESPN story on Yedlin and his move,
Bruce Schoenfeld.
Yes, it is amazing. Read it. Do yourself a favor. This won't affect him one bit. Greg Berhalter has proven that he doesn't care where you play. You can play in Major League Soccer. He'll still give you that opportunity. DeAndre Yedlin is very much still part of that right back pool. He also happens to be the most experienced right back that you have and one of the most experienced players you have on the national team. And it seems like Greg Berhalter likes having him around and likes giving him opportunities in big games. Dos a cero versus Mexico, he starts. You know, the first window, he started his fair share amount of games, of minutes. This is a player that I see very much in the setup. And now he's going to go to be in a situation where he's comfortable with Chris Henderson, who pretty much scouted him and brought him up through as a homegrown in Seattle, now at Inter Miami. This could be good for Yedlin. It could bring him back to his happy place, if you will. Get him back to playing in a confident way. And
that's the point.
Greg Berhalter seems to not care if you play in Major League Soccer. So
I think he cares a lot, and I think it's an advantage for players. To your point about the Bruce Schoenfeld article, which is still available on ESPN.com, I think what you see there is a player who in Besiktas was not maybe enjoying the footballing experience, the personal experience. You would know better than I how much happiness actually impacts a player on the field. But it seemed like Yedlin was ready for this move. I think that's very, very important here to note. Like, on a personal level, it may improve his play, which will help his World Cup chances. I think it's a very standard idea to say, hey, you're going from a better level to a worse level in a World Cup year. That'll hurt your chances. But we know that's not the case with Greg Berhalter. We know, in fact, it's not a disadvantage. It's an advantage. Greg Berhalter likes what he knows, and he knows Major League Soccer. And I think players in MLS at this point, if you're looking at going to Europe or staying at home, you say, man, for this coach right now, not what's for best for my career, best for my development, best for my pocketbook. This coach right now really has a huge value on MLS. So not only for DeAndre Yedlin, I think any player thinking about making this move in this year will not be shy about it, because it's clear that Greg Berhalter won't hold being an MLS against you. And anything, it'll be a case for you.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin. And the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time. They don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Let's move on to CONCACAF, Herc. Big news for CONCACAF. We have our nominees for Player of the Year, both on the men's side and the women's side. We'll talk about the men on Thursday's show. Let's start with the ladies. Here's your nominees: Crystal Dunn of the United States, Jessie Fleming of Canada, Lindsay Horan of the U.S. Women's National Team, Steph LeBay, the Canadian goalie, Stephanie Mayor of Tigres, we got some Mexican representation in there, and Christine Sinclair of the Canadian Women's National Team, who, of course, won gold at the Olympics in Tokyo. So, Herc, who should be, in your estimation, the Women's Player of the Year in CONCACAF?
Well, let's start by, it has to be a Canadian. They're one of
Why?
The only...
Why does it have to be a Canadian?
A gold medal would be a great reason, right? That's a huge...
You're pro-Canada, the Canada-loving ways.
Hello, Canada. Keep waving that flag for Canada. But they won something. So, LeBay, goalkeeper, Flemings, okay, stepped up in some PKs, some penalty kicks. But Christine Sinclair, if you will, bear with me. A legacy award type of deal. Okay. In a year when she wins gold, okay, when she celebrated for 188 international goals, more than any other person on this planet, male or female... Okay, in a year where that's being celebrated, CONCACAF should take this opportunity to celebrate a gold medal, celebrate Christine Sinclair, reaching, by the way, 300 plus games as an international for Canada. This is insane. This is crazy. This is an opportunity to CONCACAF to reward one of its own, CONCACAF to highlight what one of their players has done at the world's level. I see no other player you should give it to besides a Canadian, and she's the obvious choice for me when you look at Canadians.
Okay, it's hard to argue against your logic, right? If we assume, if we take it, okay, Canada won the Olympics, they beat the U.S. when it mattered most, they are the best team in CONCACAF, then I guess logically the best player in CONCACAF, you can make the case, should come from the best team. My choice would be Lindsay Horan. I think Lindsay Horan is right now the best player in this region, right?
And I think coming off the year that she had, both with the U.S. women's national team, and you can point to the Olympics and say, hey, the U.S. wasn't able to overcome Canada. Lindsey Horan was there. Lindsey Horan was one of the few consistent points for the U.S. women, not just at the Olympics, but all year. I mean, it was a team that struggled with consistency in those games, but Lindsey Horan was there every single game. She led the team in minutes. She's incredibly versatile. Showed she could play as an 8. Showed she could play as a 6. For me, if I'm building a team right now, Lindsey Horan is that player. She is the Women's Player of the Year, and right now, she's at the peak of her career. It's why Leon goes out to get her, right? Yep. They need the best players in the world. They went for Lindsey Horan. But man, I can't argue Christine Sinclair, and I definitely can't argue Christine Sinclair in a year where Canada wins Olympic gold. I mean, I'm with you. Career Achievement Award, fair play. If it works out that way, I got no complaints with it. You know, the fans are involved in this vote. Do you like that or not?
Not really.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't really like it. Listen, and it's not just in this sport. In any sport, when you get fans involved, it becomes a popularity contest. In Major League Soccer, it's Seattle, it's Atlanta who are winning these Goal of the Weeks. And you're like, wait a second. How did this Golasso get beat by the Seattle goal or this Atlanta goal? It's because fans vote as well. It's an unfair advantage, if you will, from some of those smaller clubs who have better players, who have more achievements, who can't get their due because fan voting.
Hercules Gomez continuing his anti-fan messaging here on Football Americas. Lindsey Horan and the U.S. Women's National Team in action in 10 days' time. First game of the She Believes Cup for the American women, February 17th. That's a Thursday from Dignity Health Sports Park, U.S. against the Czech Republic. Game you can watch on ESPN. Kirk, in case you missed it, from Liga MX Femenil, Atlético San Luis against Toluca. Crazy play here. San Luis's goalie goes down injured, and Toluca play on and score the goal. What do you make of it?
Atlético San Luis, their Twitter account was not very happy. It denounced Toluca. Look, this looked like at first an ankle, looks like a knee there. It's an empty net.
What should you do? What do you do? You're supposed to play the whistle, no?
You play on. It's not your fault. You play on. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. You have to play. There is no letter of the law against this. Is it anti-sportsmanship? I don't know.
What would you do in that position?
Put the ball in the back of the net.
Nah, there it is. There it is. The ruthless killer that is Hercules Gomez.
By the way, ended up 2-2.
There you go. Okay. Hercules Gomez all over all the results from Liga MX Femenil. Parting shot. Serie A is planning a tournament in the United States during the World Cup, reportedly. The competition would include all Serie A teams, of course, Italian players, all the players not in the World Cup would be available to their teams, which could, of course, include Italy, still in the qualification process. Herc, what do you make of this?
A lower level exhibition tournament because the teams you have or the leagues you have will be on a 6 to 8 week break. Welcome to Major League Soccer.
Hey. So you like it or no?
I do like it, actually, but a lot of red tape. These players will be obviously in a very long break because of the World Cup. Some of them up to 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks to be approximate for the majority. So you have to assume it's a good chance for Serie A to get exposure in the United States. But the red tape that I'm talking about is UEFA, CONCACAF, Deal Sam, Uncle Sam, U.S. Soccer got to get their take too. So there's a lot of red tape that we saw it with Getafe and I believe some other Spanish team trying to play in the United States in Miami and what happened with UEFA, what happened with La Liga, what happened with U.S. Soccer. Lots of red tape, but I love the idea or the premise of.
I am very interested to see which side U.S. Soccer and the U.S. Soccer Federation takes on this because we know in the past La Liga has wanted to play games here. And I don't believe that U.S. soccer has been all that receptive. Now,
when they're not receptive,
who do they act for? Whose behalf are they acting on? That is the big question, but I'm very interested to see how the Federation handles this. Hercules Gomez, as always, a pleasure to be with you. Football Americas will be back in 3 days' time with episode 99, Herc. The countdown to 100, well and truly on.
We will see you on Thursday. What have you done, ESPN?
Let out of the bag.
What have you done?
2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.